This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
I was absolutely terrified. It's one thing to know that a hurricane is coming. It's another thing altogether to be cowering in your house as the wind and the rain pound the windows and the entire house shakes. To look out the window and see the strong, sturdy, old trees bent nearly in half by the relentless force of the wind. I felt powerless. I was powerless in the face of the chaos erupting all around. Although I had lived on the Gulf Coast for 10 years at that point, Hurricane Bonnie was my first and most memorable hurricane experience. As you might imagine, I much prefer a gentle summer breeze or even a blustery winter wind, but I don't get to choose. The wind blows where it will, said Jesus to Nicodemus, and so it is with the Spirit. The Pentecost event that we remember today is the hurricane version of the Holy Spirit. Wind roared, tongues of fire appeared, a cacophony of languages erupted, and chaos ensued. First responders to the noise and confusion were able to hear the disciples speaking in their own languages. The text tells us that all were amazed and perplexed. And then remarkably, the chaos abated. Peter somehow perceived what was happening, which may be the biggest Pentecost miracle of all. This fisherman, who had famously denied Jesus three times, seized the moment to stand before this huge crowd and boldly preach. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he explained. The prophet Joel said this would happen, and here it is. God promised to pour out Spirit on everyone, men, women, slave, free, and that's what's happening here. And Peter proceeded to tell the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and now they could see for themselves this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many of his listeners were deeply moved, and they responded by asking, "What should we do?" And so Peter urged them to repent and be baptized, that they might receive the Holy Spirit for themselves. Subsequent verses inform us that those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to the group that day. 3,000! The Spirit roared into Jerusalem on Pentecost, and the world was forever changed. Now, the Pentecost event is recorded in the biblical book that we call the Book of Acts, but the book's full name is the Acts of the Apostles. And in it, the author records not only this Pentecost story, but also story after story after story in which the various apostles responded faithfully to the Holy Spirit as they went out from Pentecost to begin to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, according to tradition, these apostles, who were mostly just Galilean country bumpkins, made their way across the known world. They made their way to Greece, not collectively, individually, to Greece, to Rome, to present-day India, to present-day Ukraine, and beyond. They traveled places and did things they could never have imagined prior to Pentecost. It's not that they didn't know the Holy Spirit before Pentecost, but the Pentecost event was something of a holy kick in the pants to get the Jesus movement started. Now, fortunately, the Holy Spirit doesn't always roar and create chaos in order to guide and encourage us. As we read through all those stories in Acts of the Apostles, indeed through all of Scripture and Christian tradition and our own experience, we learn that the Holy Spirit communicates to people in various ways, through visions, verbal guidance, both human and angelic, through circumstances, through Holy Scripture and liturgy, and sometimes even through sermons. What's most important is not the particular way Spirit speaks, but rather our response to it. The apostles' responses were consistently the same. They welcomed the Holy Spirit and followed the Spirit's lead. It's notable that the book is called the Acts of the Apostles, not the Good Intentions of the Apostles. To a person, they responded to the Holy Spirit with action. And we are invited to do the same. The Spirit is alive and well today, blowing here and there, in this way and that way. We are called to emulate the apostles and to respond with action, whatever that looks like for us individually and communally. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit leads us very specifically to do this or that particular thing. For example, the Spirit might place someone on our heart and nudge us to reach out to that person with a word of encouragement or kindness. We might be invited to repair a damaged relationship, to say hard but necessary words like, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," or "I forgive you." We might even be led to leave our current circumstances and step into the unknown, a new job, a new ministry, a new challenge. I expect you know that feeling of being nudged toward action. But the Holy Spirit isn't always so specific. You know, we don't need a singular personal word from Spirit to know that we are called to regularly gather together here, to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and the prayers. We don't need a specific nudge to know that we are to resist evil, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to love our neighbors, and to seek peace and justice. We don't need roaring wind and tongues of fire to know that these are actions the Spirit calls us to do. Now, as is our custom on Pentecost, we are going to renew our baptismal vows this morning. And my hope is that the vows would not be just words that we say, not just good intentions, but rather a true commitment to act. May we, like the apostles of long ago, commit ourselves to following God's Holy Spirit, whether we hear through rushing wind and fire or through a gentle whisper in the quiet of our own heart. The wind blows where it will, and so it is with the Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.